So this morning, I wanted to think a little bit about dreams. And I don't know what you think about when you think about dreams. And I'm not talking about the kind you have from the time you lay down to the time you get up. It was very interesting looking at dreams, how there's so many different dreams or different types of dreams. And there's this one dream, I don't know as I've had too many of these, but it's called a lucid dream, where you actually realize you're dreaming while you're dreaming and you can kind of control your dream. That was a different twist there. But I guess, yeah. But most of the time, it's just random stuff that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And maybe some of it does and some of it doesn't. But the dreams I want to talk about this morning is dreams that we have here in life. And originally I was going a different direction, and then in that study I ran into the thought of following our dreams. And here in America, if you have a dream, you can pretty much fulfill that dream in a physical sense. And then I started thinking about the American dream, and we've all heard about the American dream. And so all of us dream of something. I don't know what age it starts, maybe age 5, 4 or 5. You start dreaming about what you want to be in life. You start dreaming about envisioning what you want your life to be. And that starts from children. It could go to youth, middle age, and then old people. I think we all have dream or something that we would like to see happen in our life. And it would be really interesting this morning to start from the front bench and just find out what some of your dreams are, what you would like to see in your life. And it's actually something I think is very good for us to ask ourselves. What is our goal? Because, you know, you don't have to live to be 60 years old. You can be my age and realize some of your dreams were fulfilled. You still have plenty more. But you look at life and you see you're going to get through life towards all these dreams. And then what? And then how it just kind of ends somehow. And so thinking about all these things, and how long do we get to dream? Well, we don't know that, but I have a receipt right here. You probably can't read it. I have a receipt here from a funeral home in Lake Butler, Florida. And this receipt was for the funeral of my mom when she died. And it totaled $8,995. That's what it cost at the end of her life to have a funeral for her. And she was 73 years old. So if you want to back up to age 5 when maybe she started dreaming, what is that, 68 years of dreaming, if you want to call it that, things that she might have wished would have happened in her life, even up to her dying day. Some of you get less, some of you get more. It's really not very long. And then the dream is over. The American dream is rooted in the Declaration of Independence. It takes the ideal that every individual has the freedom and opportunity to succeed, achieve upward mobility, and build a better life, regardless of their background, through hard work, determination, and initiative. And another aspect of the American dream is to have a wife and family, a couple children. It was interesting, it said two children. I don't think the American dream is to have a very big family. A healthy family, a one or two story house with a white picket fence is what another picture of the American dream. A dream life is a cherished aspiration, ambition, or deeply held vision for the future. The ultimate picture of what you want your life to become. A dream is something that's out of your reach at the time, but with setting goals one step at a time, you can work your way towards your dream and making your dream come true. And in America today, on a physical level, with enough hard work and determination and concentration, you can make almost any dream come true. You can dream pretty big and more than likely make it happen. And this can be exciting to us. It can be exciting to me, because when I read that article, it left me under the impression that if you decide you want to do something, it's pretty easy for something to look too big to me when I first look at it. You know, you say that's just something I dream about. That means that you don't even ever plan for it to happen. But this is, if you in America, if you decide you want to do something big and you ignore everything else in life, it's very likely you can get there. You can do it. Now, I realize God has to allow you the strength to do this. Interesting enough, I found information that as you get older, your dreams change. You know, they change as you get older. And one man said instead of wanting more, he ended up wanting less. He wanted less stress, less of a lot of things. Benjamin Franklin said, "Life's great tragedy is that we are old too soon and wise too young." I thought that was really good. So what about for the Christian? Is the American dream for God's people? What dream should or shouldn't Christians have? And I believe we probably all have some dreams, and I think that can be a good thing. It can give us, dreams can give you motivation, something to work for, a purpose in life, and it's something we all, and that's something we all need. But I don't know how it feels to you. For me, as I plan, as I make goals, as I dream, I go after that. And in the, you know, off the side, kind of in the background, I would say too far in the background, too much of the time, I want my family, I want my children to grow up, and I want them to serve God, and I want them to love God with their whole heart, soul, and mind, like it tells us in Matthew 22, verse 37. That's what I want my family to do. But that's kind of, yeah, I pay attention to it. Hopefully I pay a lot of attention to it, but it's so easy to get these dreams and get to going after these dreams, because it's attainable in America. As I look at the American dream, I would say most of us here would probably fit in the American dream category, in the fact that we pretty much all have a house and a family and not the white picket fence, but we fit there for a little bit. And I think that's fine. I don't think there's a problem with that. But the aspect of the American dream that you can get what you want, you can succeed if you want, with determination and success. If you find success through determination, and it might take a wholehearted devotion to do that, but you can do it. I don't find a lot of support for that in the Bible. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't work and we shouldn't strive for our goals. But what I'm saying is that should not be our only, that shouldn't be our focus. And for me, I don't know how it is for you. It's so easy to keep that where it needs to be. We get unbalanced in that. God does bless his people at times, and it tells us in Proverbs that work and diligence is rewarded. It is rewarded. It tells us that. But one thing it also tells us in the Bible that living godly will put others first. That's one, just one thing it tells us that will affect how much you're running and going will make you. If you put others first, and I'll give you an example. I don't remember if I've said this before or not, but Sam Miller was a prime example of this to me years ago. I used to work at his shop there, and I built many barns, and we was barely scraping by. I don't think we was much of the American dream at that time. We sure didn't have the picket fence. And he had a tire that needed changed on his tractor. And so he said he was going to get it done, but if I wanted to do it, he would pay me, you know, so much to do it. And it was a way I could make some extra money on the side. So I said, yeah, I'll do that. And it was a Friday evening, I think. Well, I didn't realize what I had tied on to. And this tractor tire wouldn't come loose off this rim. And I struggled with it, and I struggled with it, and I couldn't get it off. Well, I had made an agreement to fix this tire for Sam. So instead of it still being flat Monday morning, I took it Saturday over to Farm Service at Hoxie and had them fix it for me. And I had to pay him to do it. And I wasn't making any money at that time. That all the side money had left. But it was still the agreement to do. Well, we come back Monday and, you know, Sam knew he had made an agreement with me. He didn't make an agreement with Farm Service. But he paid me everything. He paid for the whole thing. And, you know, he wouldn't have had to. He had his agreement with me. And that really blessed me that, you know, he felt like that's what the right thing to do. So sometimes we're not, in other words, if you're out there, you're focused on your American dream, whatever it might be, and that's all you're going to do, you're not going to pay anybody money that you don't owe, that you don't have to pay them. You're going to stay focused. And so sometimes the Bible helps us in that. It goes against that is what I'm trying to say. And the Bible gives direction on how we should live. And I've got several verses here I want to read. You can try to follow them along and look up. I'll have to turn to them sort of. I've got markers at them. But the first one is Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." The next one I have is Micah 6, verse 8. Micah 6:8, "He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God." Next one is Galatians 5, verse 22 and 23. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." And Romans 12, 1 and 2. Romans 12, 1, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." And in Colossians 3, 12 through 14. Colossians 3:12. "Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16 through 18. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Okay, sorry, I'm about to read the next verse there. The last one I have is Matthew 22, verse 37 to 39. Matthew 22, verse 37. Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So in listening and reading these verses, do they give you, did you see a picture here of chasing your dreams? Did you see, is this what you got out of these verses? Is that, did you see chasing our dreams, pursuing what we want to achieve? Was that the picture that you seen in there? It wasn't the picture that I seen. It had a lot deeper meaning to how God wants us to live. And then I have a story at home, and one of the companions, I thought about bringing it and reading it. It was pretty long, but it, back in 2016, there was a story in the companions that this younger couple, well, they was probably middle age, actually. I think their youngest was 3 years old and then went up from there, maybe up in their teens. And this couple had a nice farm out in the country, a little farm that they had started from scratch, and they had worked and worked and worked and turned it into a nice farm. And they had nice fields, and they had animals, and they had a garden, and they had a really nice place that they had sweated and toiled over and had fixed up. And one day, this man thought about, so for some reason, he felt convicted that their family should move to the city and be a witness for God there to people in the city. And he did not like the thought of this at all. So he kind of didn't do anything about it for a while, and he kept thinking about it. And through time, he come to decide, and him and his wife talked about it, and it was like, you know, at the end of life, when we get there, are we going to tell God, we raised all this healthy food and made sure our children had this healthy food, and we really, you know, like they really had done something. And instead, they could have moved to the city, moved somewhere, and been a witness for God. And they just felt like they was way off on their thinking on that, and that they felt like they should go, like they should get rid of their nice farm. They had worked and sweated and toiled, and so they did. They put it up for sale, and on in the story later, the fields out there were empty, didn't have any animals in them. They had auctioned everything off or butchered the animals, and they didn't have anything left. And the for sale sign was out there with a pending on it. There was somebody going to buy their place. And the neighbor man drove up that he had knew for years, and he came up there, and he told him, he said, I remember the exact words, but he said, I can't believe you're selling your place. You know, I thought I knew you better than that. And he was like, well, yeah, I thought I knew myself better than that too, or whatever he said. He kind of made small talk. But then the man said, and this neighbor is somebody that the couple that was selling their place, he had always felt like there was something this neighbor had against him. He could just feel it when they would meet. And he said that the neighbor man, he said, you know, he said, I really admire you, because he said, he went on to mention how, you know, he had this nice place. He lived well. And, but he didn't feel like, he felt like that's about all he had, I guess. And when he seen him give that up and go to witness and actually go, act out the Great Commission, and he recognized that, and he even called it that he was very impressed with him for actually doing that. And there was a I should have brought it along. I can't remember exactly all the thoughts there, but basically that barrier that had been between them all them years was lifted through him selling his place, and there was a closeness there because of what they was doing. And you know, he had probably dreamed of that place, and yet he gave it up, and he went on and followed what he thought God wanted him to do. It's something to think about. I'm not trying to say we should sell our places, but God might ask us to do some stuff. Is our dreams and goals in life aligning with the direction that we find in God's Word? And my last thought I want to leave in the end here is, does our life and dreams, does it reflect this receipt? Does it reflect how we live? Because that is part of our life. That's all I have, if y'all want to stand for prayer.